by music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. A lady in Malvern, one of our regular listeners, sent me a small ad from the Worcester Evening News. For sale, Elgar's Dream of Gerontius, City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra. Rattle played only once, £6. Thank you, Miss Boakley. I hope you're going to enjoy this next half hour as I introduce John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. It was Lionel Phillips of South Croydon who came up with these opening questions. John, some Mozart. John, Mr. Phillips' question for you is, if you'd gone to a rehearsal with Mozart, why might you have taken a bunch of crooks with you?
A bunch of crooks. Well, in those days, the horns weren't able to play in every key. Mm. They were only able to play the harmonic series of that particular key. So if it was in E-flat, that's all they could do. If they wanted to play in C, they put on another little bit of tubing.
Known as a crook, exactly.
And the funny thing is that these days, of course, with the authentic instruments and everything, you see players, again, yes, with little rows of crooks on the music stands. Yes. Rather nice.
But the same with trumpets before valve.
Yes,
valves.
Exactly.
They look like ironmonger shops. Plumbers.
Yeah. Frank, it's your turn. Oh. Oscar Shumsky there playing Kreisler. Frank, I disclaim all responsibility for this question. If you were a fiddler, would you give your nut a twist before playing?
Almost certainly, in order to align the chin next to the chin rest.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you couldn't hold the violin, could you?
It's not quite the answer it says down
here. What he wants is the bowing thing of tightening the bow.
The bow, yes, that's right. You would tighten the bow with the nut.
But you've got to align your nut against the... your head, that is.
Yeah, of course, yes. And you don't need to explain it to me, I get it, it's all right. Ian, back to Mozart. Make any tunes better than that one, I think. Ian, who feels safely anchored in the Red Sea?
It can't be anything to do with the flute.
No, so?
It must be something to do with the harp.
Thank you, Miss Marissa Robles there.
Yes.
Now, Red Sea. You may not have noticed
this. One of those flat pack harps that you have to assemble yourself. Red Sea against yellow.
There's something to do with the to help the harpist, some of the strings are different colours.
Well, yes, otherwise you're looking at a sea of strings, aren't you?
Yes.
So
presumably the sea is red, is it?
All the seas are red, all the way up, yes. You've got it, you've worked your way to it, yes.
All those years of working with orchestra, never noticed
no,
that.
That's right, no.
I really feel a better person for knowing that.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Every harp I see now, I will give it that curse of...
Right. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Dennis, try your own question now. This is more Mozart for you. Concerto. Dennis, where does a bassoonist keep his butt?
He's good, this lady who sends in the question. Red hot, this one.
This is a gentleman, this one.
Oh, it's a gentleman.
Lionel Phillips, yes.
I don't know. It could be. There's two things I know about a bassoon. One is you cannot chew a toffee while you're playing. And the other, to the best of my knowledge, Professor Moriarty used to play one in Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Did he really?
I have no idea where, unless the butt behind his ear, where we all used to keep our butts.
Well, he keeps his butt as far away as possible. It's the lowest joint on his instrument, actually. The butt.
The joint you keep behind your ear.
I don't think you got the answer to that one, Dennis.
I don't think so.
Zero, songs and their words. John, who was it pointed out that the two most important words in the English language are the ones most difficult to sing on long notes? God and love. Who pointed that out?
I don't know. Perhaps it was Mark Twain who pointed out that the two most common words in the German language and operas are vomit and damn it.
Yes. The man who pointed it out was Sir Thomas Beecham. Actually, yeah. Frank, there are one or two words known to Tin Pan Alley that seem to exist only in Tin Pan Alley, just because they offer rhymes. I'm going to put together two of them. What do you think will be the standard songwriter's line that follows, "We went dancing in our childhood"?
And we sang as Marty Wildwood.
You got Wildwood. I was trying to rhyme dancing with romancing, or dancing and romancing.
I didn't understand the question.
No. That's why the answer wasn't perfect, isn't it? Anyway, you got Wildwood. Always childhood in the Wildwood, they always used to say. Fair enough. Ian, why, according to popular songwriters, can't I dance, and why won't I dance?
I can't dance. Yes. Because I've aunts in my pants.
Yes, that is right.
I won't dance. Why should I?
Yeah.
I won't dance.
That's right. My heart won't let my feet do things they should do.
Kind of early protest song that was, wasn't it?
Yes, wasn't it? Yeah. Dennis, Celestial O'Brien sang Memphis in June, and he composed it as well. Who was he, and what was angelic about George Raft?
Golly, this is one of these things that holds people up for 4 hours on a crossword, doesn't it? Yeah.
You are a bit
and
of a
they
specialist.
Sling the paper away.
A bit of a specialist in these.
Well, Memphis in June was composed by Hoagie Carmichael,
yes,
so let's dispose of that.
He sang it. He was Celestial O'Brien in the film.
In the film, was it?
Yes.
That was his name in the film.
In the film with George Raft.
Well, I don't know. George Raft was famous for turning down roles. Like, he turned down Casablanca. And he turned down the Maltese Falcon. I can only think he turned down an angel type film.
Yes.
Angels with Dirty Faces.
No, something. No. Somebody Angel.
I don't know.
No, Johnny Angel. Oh. 1945, starring George Raft. Right. As children, we labour through scales. And arpeggios. And sometimes... Pardon?
That's an arpeggio.
That's an arpeggio. Now you know.
Never known. You miss out a couple of notes.
That's an arpeggio. Yeah. Sometimes a composer uses an arpeggio idea at the start of one of his works. For instance, John.
It's an arpeggio, John.
What is it?
You'd like me to say it's the Invitation to the Waltz, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't, no.
It's actually the Invitation to the Dance.
The Dance, yes, by Weber, that's right. Frank, what city does this arpeggio tune make you think of?
Gay Paris race.
Yes, that's right, under the bridges of Paris.
Yes. View.
Ian, another arpeggio idea, this time from the middle of something extremely popular.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
A touch of the Johannes.
Yes, from...
The Blue Danube.
The Danube, yes, that's right. Dennis, title, please, and whose signature tune?
Oh, that was such a relief when I...
That's in the mood, and it's Joe Loss's
tune. Yes, Joe. Not, in case anybody thinks, not Glenn Miller's signature tune, no. But Joe Loss's, yeah. Arpeggio. One for the audience, another arpeggio sort of tune. What is this called? Thank you, yes. To a man and a woman, they said, auf Wiedersehen, yeah. A pride of lions, a herd of deer, a flock of sheep, a gaggle of geese, a something or other of my music contestants. Any suggestions, welcome in the post. Anyway, collective nouns. The collective words for birds are really rather charming, I think, and they're musicians, after all. I wonder if you can guess what some of these collectives are. John, here's the nightingale. What of nightingales, would you say?
Sleepless night.
That do me very nicely, actually. The official collective is a watch of nightingales. That's the watch night.
Berkeley Square.
Watch night, yes, a Berkeley Square, says Frank. Frank, this is the unlovely song of the peacock.
It's a totally unacceptable noise, like a cat being strangled.
Yeah, it is.
Such a beautiful bird.
Yeah, a collective for peacocks.
It's not a beautiful word, it's an ostentation of peacocks.
Ostentation. Is that so?
Yeah.
That's an alternative.
There are several words.
Yeah, well, ostentation, yes. Or a muster of peacocks is the other one.
There's also a muster of storks.
Oh, yes.
Which makes a lot of sense, because they're on the ground. They walk around rather than in a military fashion.
Oh, yes. Sergeant Major sort of thing, yes. Ian, here's a skylark. Collective for them?
A coloratura of skylarks.
Yes, that's that. I like that very much. I also think the real one is lovely. An exaltation of skylarks. It's beautiful, isn't it? Dennis, you're a locked-in adopted Londoner, so you've heard this sound before. Starlings. What of starlings, Dennis?
Well, it's strange, because the place to hear that is in this very road that this studio is in, because this, in early evening, Frank and I used to share an office in Lower Regent Street, which is just a little bit down from here, and the noise of dusk of that was just awful. It was like 1,000 rusty keys in rusty... I could never see any beauty in it. But there used to be an old gent with a bowler hat used to come along and feed them.
Yeah.
And we put round the rumour that he actually worked for a big chain of dry cleaners. But I don't know. To me, it's in no sense a beautiful sound. Yeah.
The real word is very flattering for starlings, the murmuration of starlings.
That's real
rubbish, as you say.
The wonderful lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore is a murmuration.
Yes.
Wonderful one of P.G. Woodhouse wrote about somebody missing a putt on the last green in a golf match, a very short putt, and blaming an uproar of butterflies.
Very charming. Well, we come not for the first time to words from a song, but from which song? John, this song may have escaped you, but let's try anyway. Why have I got a twinkle in my eye?
With a twinkle in my eye and a something, a shillelagh on my arm.
You often know Fats Waller songs, and Fats Waller did this.
Got a twinkle in my eye.
Don't you know the reason?
Don't you know the reason why?
You've got
a brand new suit.
That's it. You've got a brand new suit. Yes, that's it.
To dinner with Dennis.
Yes. One for Frank. Frank, hold on, desist, whoa, stop.
Britons never, never, never shall be.
Quite, actually. No, this is American, actually.
Is it?
It was an American song. Hold on, desist, whoa, stop. Phil Harris used to sing it.
Not a single bow.
Touch not a single bow.
Hold on,
bow.
Desist, whoa, stop.
Woodman.
Yes. Woodman, spare that tree. That's right. Ian, about as far as they can go.
It's about as far as I can go, I think.
They've gone
Kansas
about as far as they can go.
They've gone about as far as they can go.
That's right, yes. From Oklahoma, exclamation mark, yeah. Dennis, when today is a long time ago, sounds like one
purposely
of David Priestley's...
Purposely put the wrong emphasis on it. Yeah. That's the last bit of when the children are asleep, isn't
right,
it?
Yes.
And when they do the duet bit, yeah.
John, what do good authors use these days?
Oh, much better words. In olden days and... authors used much... Who used four-letter words now use much better
words. The other
words.
Way round.
The other way round.
Oh, who use much better
words?
Well, yeah,
they now
mean.
Only use four-letter
yes,
words writing
prose. Anything goes.
Goes. Yes, that's right. Frank, what does a warning voice repeat and repeat in my ear?
Don't you know, silly fool? You never can win.
That's right. From
use your mentality.
From I've
isn't
got you under my skin.
Wake up! Wake up! Isn't that a strange line for Cole Porter? That. Have you ever heard anybody say, use your mentality?
Only if they want it to rhyme with reality.
Exactly.
That's right. Ian, what was I doing as you saw me go?
I was singing a song.
I was singing this song.
We'll meet again. Yeah. Don't know where.
Dennis, your turn. Where do I want to settle down one day?
In Idaho? Tennessee?
No, literally, I want to settle
Michigan?
Down one day. In a one-way street?
In a one-way street?
One horse town.
One horse, is it?
No, don't you know it? No.
No. I racked my mentality and I couldn't...
Yes. So this lovely song called I'm a One-Man Girl from
yes,
Mr.
Nice.
Cinders. Yeah. Mr. Cinders, yeah. Quick half-mark bonus for either Frank or Dennis. Have you ever danced in the tropics?
Aye.
Yeah, but that's not the name of the song.
South American Way.
South American Way, yeah, that's a half to Dennis, yeah. National music, ethnic music, mood music, in fact. John, where would you say these musicians came from?
I recognise the timbre. It's a group I know in Palmer's Green.
You did not fall into my deeply laid trap, of course. The trumpet player actually came from Pinner, and the drummer and I came from Lincoln. We're not Latin Americans to a man. Frank, we're well and truly in the realms of mood music. What would you call this if you'd written it?
Call it a failure. Didn't seem to have a coherent melody.
That's your privilege.
Graffiti Man.
Yeah, Tony Hymus wrote it. He called it Metal Man. So, fair enough.
Well,
Ian, what would this music be used for? Can you paint a picture for us?
Oh, this was years and years ago on the newsreels.
Yes.
It's summertime and all the girls are around the Lido. Oh, yes, and all the children are out and, oh, isn't that a pretty frock over there? Oh, that's rather a daring bathing costume.
Yeah. Absolutely right. It was actually, you're right, it was called Melody on the Move. It was written by Clive Richardson. Dennis, not what would the composer have called this, but what did he actually call it?
I think now
nowadays he calls it a nice turn-up for the book. Yeah. It's the theme song of a programme called My Word, which has been on since women got the vote. Or
Alpine.
It's something Swiss. It's Vivian Ellis wrote it.
Vivian Ellis is Alpine Pastures. That's right. But of course, really, that's the My Word signature tune now.
My Word's been going as long as Vivian Ellis.
And now for the singing. Frank's song, he may be interested to learn, was first heard in a show called Hello Tango. That was in 1914 when Gerald Kirby sang it. All these years later, Frank's going to sing it.
Yeah, I think this is the topical song. But a topical song of that time, and it's about motor cars, which were absolutely new. And see, otherwise, I have to say that, Steve.
You do?
Because otherwise it doesn't make sense anyway.
No, it does.
It's slightly more than that. He had to get under, get out and get under, to fix his little machine. He only wanted to cuddle his queen, but every minute as he began it, he had to get under, get out and get under. Then he'd get back at the wheel, and at the times he'd start to hug and squeeze, and then the darned old engine, it would wheeze, and then he had to get under, get out and get under, and fix up his automobile.
As I said, that was originally in a 1914 show. John's song was from Frederica, first heard in London in 1930. Music by Franz Lehár. Words by someone that some of us on this stage knew, and all of us remember, Harry S. Pepper.
This is a common market version.
Oh, maiden, my maiden, dear love divine. Oh, maiden, my maiden, dear love, be mine. My rosebud of the wayside, the sweetest ever grown. You shall be forever mine alone. Oh, maiden, my maiden, dear love divine. Oh, maiden, my maiden, dear love be mine. My rosebud of the wayside, the sweetest of her kind. Oh, maiden, my maiden, be mine and love.
Yeah, just follow that, will you? Yeah. It was a lady in Stevenage.
The national anthem, I think. Yeah. No, so it was Dennis and Irene Lolland.
A lady in Stevenage put Dennis onto a song of 1922, or rather a parody of it, which, she says, was a wartime favourite with the Women's Land Army and the WAF. I'm not surprised, having seen the words.
Are you lonesome tonight? Is your bra far too tight? Are your corsets all falling apart? Does the size of your chest wear big holes in your vest? Does your spare tire reach up to your heart? Are your stockings all laddered? Your shoes wearing thin? Are your knickers held up with a big safety pin? Are your dentures so worn they drop down when you yawn? Then no wonder you're lonesome too.
I'd
just wish to say my wife was in the Land Army doing that. And there's not a word of truth in it.
Oh, right. Well, it seems appropriate to follow Are You Lonesome Tonight with Love Walked In. So, Ian, it's yours.
Love walked right in and drove the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment and my heart seemed to know that love said hello. Though not a word was spoken, one look and I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found a world completely new. When love walked in with you.
I don't think anything can follow a Gershwin score except perhaps a quiz score. A victory this week for nobody. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Richard Edis.